Let God transform your life as you listen to this inspiring sermon by Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb.
Early in the morning of April 2nd, 2015, gunmen from the Somali terrorist group Al-Shabaab stormed the campus of Garissa University College in Kenya. The first thing the terrorists did when they entered campus was head for a lecture hall where Christians were praying. After killing several students and taking some hostage, the terrorists then attacked the hostels. Moving methodically from room to room, the gunmen shot and killed anyone they found. 21-year-old English literature student Helen Titus was in her hostel when the gunmen entered. "The gunmen told us to come out from hiding," she said. "They told us we would not be killed." But when the students came out of their rooms, the gunmen shot them anyway. Titus tried to think of a way to escape, but there was no way out, no place to hide. She became desperate, fearing that she would be next. Titus smeared blood from her dead classmates all over her face and hair. Then she lay down amongst the corpses and pretended to be dead. Helen Titus could hear students scream as the killing continued. The gunmen got closer and closer, and Helen knew that at any moment they would be standing right over her. But when the terrorists came near her, they only saw blood-covered corpses. They passed Helen Titus and moved to another area of campus. And when Kenyan soldiers finally gained control of the campus, there were 148 people dead. It could have been 149 dead, but Helen Titus was spared because she was covered in blood. There's a powerful lesson for all of us in the true story of Helen Titus' survival in the face of near certain death. Just like Helen Titus, we all live in a world surrounded by the power of death. We have no power in our own strength to overcome this death. There's no way for any of us to escape and no way for any of us to hide. But 2,000 years ago, the Son of God laid down his life for us. He shed his blood so that we could be covered and sheltered. He died in our place. And when we come under his blood, we are covered and marked for salvation. Death cannot overcome us. For though 1,000 fall at our side and 10,000 at our other side, God's power is greater than any other power. Jesus is greater than death, greater than sin, greater than any other force. And when he lives in us, we will rise up with the resurrection power of God's life. For you see, not only did Jesus shed his blood to cover us, but he also made a way so that we would never need to fear death again. He made a way for us to overcome every opposition and every power. And when he rose from the dead on Easter morning, he conquered death not only for his own sake, but also for all of us for all time. He secured for us the promise of everlasting life. That's the good news we celebrate today. The good news that Jesus rose from the dead. It's good news for all of us because the resurrection proves his power is greater than any other thing. And Easter means that when we come to Jesus, we too will find resurrection power. Because he lives, we live. Because of his victory, we are guaranteed victory forever. For no matter what problem you face today, there is a greater power that can deliver you. No matter what battle there is before you, there is a power that is greater than any other power, the power of Jesus Christ. And that's the message in our sermon today, a sermon entitled, Jesus is Greater. We're going to discover the amazing truth about Easter and what it means for all of us today. But before we learn today's lesson, let's bow our heads and pray together. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to come and shed his blood to cover us so that our sins could be forgiven and our lives could be made new. Thank you that not only did he die, but he rose from the grave. And because he lives, we can live also. Now, come and speak to our hearts. Come and let the resurrection power fill us today. We submit to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And I bind every voice that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to give us grace and light and love and the power of the resurrection to give us life. We thank you by faith in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. I want to invite you right now to join your faith with mine. Just put your hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, hello everyone and happy Easter. Easter is indeed a happy occasion, for it marks the greatest event in human history, the day when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. You see, on Friday, we mark the day when Jesus died on the cross for our sins. The Bible tells us that on the cross, Jesus defeated Satan and Jesus defeated sin. But even though that was a glorious victory, there was still one enemy left that Jesus had to defeat. There was still one final victory for Christ to win. And that was the victory over the final enemy, the victory over death itself. So it was on the third day. Jesus rose from the dead by the power of the glory of God. The stone was rolled away. The grave clothes were thrown aside. And the Lord Jesus rose with a new and resurrected body. The triumphant power of God conquered death. And Jesus defeated the final adversary and brought eternal life to all of us. He rose from the dead. The grave couldn't keep him. Death couldn't hold him. The devil couldn't defeat him. The Pharisees couldn't silence him. Sin couldn't conquer him. He is the living God, the everlasting Savior, and the risen King. So lift up your hands and say, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And because Jesus lives, we live also. For the good news of Easter is that his victory is our victory. Because he defeated death, we are also can be free from the power of death. He is the resurrection and the life. And because he lives, all who receive him by faith will live for eternity with him. That's why Easter is much more than just a historical event. That's why it's a day we celebrate today, not just because of what happened 2,000 years ago, but because the present reality is we will live forever when we receive his resurrection power. The resurrection's more than just a historical event. It's a life-changing reality for all who believe in Jesus. So let's take some moments today and discover what that truth means for us. And to help us learn the truth for today, we've prepared sermon notes. They're available for a free download on our website and on our Facebook page. So I invite you to download the notes and follow along with me as we discover the truth for today. Our scripture text is found in the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 to 7. It's the story of Easter, the greatest story ever told. Now, receive the word of the Lord. Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they were asking each other, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" But as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now, go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died." May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your hearts today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Take a moment and picture this scene with me right now. It's very early in the morning, and the three faithful followers of Christ are up and on their way to the tomb. They were the last ones at the cross, and they're the first ones at the tomb. They are devoted followers of Christ. But along the way, the thought comes to them, who is going to roll away the stone that covers the tomb? For you see, the Roman soldiers had rolled a stone very large over the entrance to the tomb. They didn't want Jesus to get out, and they didn't want anyone to get in and steal the body. So they took their biggest stone and their mightiest soldiers, and they rolled it across the tomb. And they took a royal seal, and they sealed the tomb with the earthly power of Rome. And they took their best soldiers and made them stand guard with spears at the tomb. There was no way in. There was no way out. And the woman suddenly realized they could not get to Jesus. Who will roll away the stone for us? They cried. And their cry is our cry. For you see, we all have stones that block us from Christ. The stone that covered the tomb where Christ was buried was real, but it's also symbolic. It represents anything that keeps us trapped in death and sin and defeat. The stone represents the best efforts of the one who's in this world to keep us from the Lord. And that's our first truth from the Easter story. We all have an enemy greater than us. Who will roll away the stone for us? The women cried. It was a stone so big, so heavy, it was beyond their ability. And if we're honest today, we would have to admit that we all have stones in our lives that are too big for us to move on our own. We all have problems and powers arrayed against us that block us from the life we desire. We may not like to admit it. We may not tell anyone, but we all know deep in our hearts there's a stone keeping us from the life we need. And your first step to experiencing the resurrection power of Christ in your life is to acknowledge, I have a stone bigger than me. You have to understand today that you have an enemy that is stronger than you, that is holding you back and pushing you down. See, the friends, the fact is you can't accept the good news till you've acknowledged the bad news. Easter isn't good news if you don't understand there's a stone blocking you from God that you cannot move. The fact that Jesus is greater is meaningless unless you understand there's an enemy in the world that is greater than you. And if you don't know the bad news, Easter won't seem like good news. But when you know that you're lost, when you know you've got a stone blocking your path that you cannot move, when you know that you have an enemy that is greater than you, then Easter becomes the best news you've ever heard. And that's why I'm here to tell you the bad news first. We all have an enemy that is greater than us. Our way is blocked, and every effort we make to move the stone falls short. The fact is, your way is blocked by the power of sin. For Romans 6:16 tells us, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death. And if we're honest today, we must acknowledge all of us are slaves to sin. But not only that, your way is blocked by the power of the devil. For 2 Timothy 2:26 tells us that when we were in sin, we were in the trap of the devil who caught them and made them obey his will. Our way is blocked by sin. Our way is blocked by the devil. But worst of all, our way is blocked by the power of death. For the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 8:8, none of us can hold back our spirit from departing. None of us has the power to prevent the day of our death. There's no escaping that obligation, that dark battle. See, even if you have victory over every area of your life, no man in himself has the power over death. The world death rate still holds steady at 100%. In spite of all our medical advancement, in spite of all our technological improvements, nevertheless, the death rate affects every single human. Death is responsible for every fatality in the world. There is no way out. And even if we want to get to Jesus, we're unable to on our own. It's not that we don't want to find the way out. It's not that we're trying. The women in our story on the way to the tomb, they wanted to anoint Jesus. They wanted to do what was right. They wanted to worship him. But the stone stood in their way. And that's how it is for all of us today. Without someone greater than us, there is no way of escape. We need Jesus. That's the lesson we can learn from the true story of the San Jose mine disaster in Chile. It was an ordinary Thursday afternoon on August 5th, 2010, when disaster struck the mine. Without warning, the mine shaft collapsed, trapping 33 men 700 meters underground. Miraculously, all the men survived that initial collapse. But in spite of their initial survival, their situation looked bleak. They were buried 700 meters underground with no way of escape. There was only enough food to last a few days. There was no way they could ever dig their way out. No way they could escape in their own power. And yet the trapped miners weren't sure that the people above ground even knew they were alive. So how much effort would be made when people didn't know whether the miners were dead already or not? The trapped miners were living dead men. But what they didn't know was that on the surface, the nation of Chile was working to save them. Chile had just passed through a terrible earthquake, and the people of the nation were determined to avoid further loss of life. So the government brought in big earth-moving equipment, and the churches started fasting and praying, and the nation united to rescue the 33 trapped miners. 17 days after the initial collapse, the miners buried underground made their first contact with the nation above. A drill bored through the earth had penetrated the cave where the men were trapped. The miners wrote a note telling the world, "We are here. We are alive." And the nation of Chile erupted in joy when the note came back to the surface. With new zeal, the engineers went to work devising plans to rescue the men. New equipment was brought in to dig. More prayer meetings were held. And underground, the men strengthened one another and encouraged each other. And finally, on October 13th, the 33 miners were rescued. More than 1 billion viewers around the globe watched the escape rescue live on television, as the seemingly impossible mission was accomplished. There was no way out for the miners, but when the nation came together to save them, a way of escape was made. And that's the message of Easter for all of us. Just like those miners, we're buried so deep we can never get out on our own. But we are not forgotten. When all seemed lost, a plan was made in heaven. And God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit got together. And the power of the Almighty brought forth Jesus Christ on this earth to rescue us. He died and rose again to make a way out for us. That's why Romans 5:6 tells us, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. And even though the tomb was deep, and even though the tomb was dark, and even though the stone was huge, and even though the way was blocked, Jesus came through for us. He conquered death and made a way out for us. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. Don't look at the power of the obstacle in front of you. Look at the power of Jesus, who died and rose from the grave. For when you are in crisis, God is not. When you're under another wave of depression, God is not. When you're lost in a valley and have no idea what to do, God has not vanished. He's still the healer. He's still the deliverer. He's still the redeemer. He's still the savior. And he is working a plan for your life. He makes a way where there is no way. He makes a highway in your hard way. He is the answer when you have a question. He's the stone roller, the mountain mover, the grave robber, and the door opener. Somebody shout hallelujah. And if sin has kept you bound, Jesus sets you free. If religion holds you captive, Jesus breaks you out. If bitterness has entombed you, Jesus rolls the stone away. If doubt has blocked your progress, Jesus bulldozes your path. For we are helpless before the enemy of our own souls. In our own power, we fail and our hearts cry, "Who will roll away the stone for us?" For even if we want to get out, even if we want to come to Jesus, we can't on our own. But thanks be to God, there is good news. There's a Savior who came to save us, free us, and deliver us. And the stone has already been rolled away. It happened on Easter Sunday. And that means we all have a Savior greater than our enemy. Listen to what the Bible tells us in Mark 16:4. When the women got to the tomb, the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. And then angels appeared and said to the women, "Jesus of Nazareth is risen from the dead." The stone that kept us away from God has already been removed. The stone that would trip us and trap us is gone. So even though we all have an enemy greater than us, the good news is we all have a Savior greater than every enemy we face. For Jesus has already demonstrated his power over every problem in your life. See, the Bible tells us in Colossians 2:13-15, Christ forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he made a way to remove our sins. And when he died on the cross, he disarmed the devil. And when he died on the cross, he brought about a permanent and public victory. And though sin had power over us, Jesus broke that power. And though the devil held you captive, Jesus broke that power. And when you come to his empty tomb, there's nothing more you need to do. The stone is already gone. The victory is already won. The powers facing you are already defeated. Somebody shout, "I receive it." So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you. Salvation is not about what you do. It's about what he has done. You can't add to the cross, for Jesus declared, "It is finished." And that's why I'm here today to tell you that the stone has already been rolled away. You can't move it, but God already did it. You can't add to his work. You can only receive it by faith. See, when every other enemy was defeated, Jesus defeated the final enemy, the greatest enemy of all, death. And when the stone was rolled away, God's power came upon the dead body of our Lord, and he came back to life. Listen to these powerful words in Acts 2:24. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible. Everybody say, it was impossible. It was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. It was impossible for death to hold him down. That's why Romans 6:9 says, Christ was raised from the dead, and we know that he cannot die again, for death has no power over him. It is finished, finished. And what that means for us is this. Jesus' victory was not a one-time event. It was a permanent event. It wasn't temporary. It was eternal. It wasn't a band-aid on a wound. It was a healing that solved the problem once and for all. And the good news is not that just that Jesus triumphs. It's that his triumph is permanent and he reigns forever and ever. That's why the Bible says in Philippians 2:9-11, therefore God elevated him, that's Jesus, to the place of highest honor and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord to the glory of God the Father. So every government bows to Jesus. Every demon bows to Jesus. Every witch, every wizard, every fetish priest bows to Jesus Christ. Every other corporation, business, spirit, religion, everything bows to Jesus Christ. Oh, men have tried to overthrow Christ. Men have tried to stop the gospel. Men have tried to defeat the church. More than 60 years ago, the ruler of China, Chairman Mao, burned down Christian seminaries. He burned the Bible and declared Christianity would not survive in China. But today, he is in the grave, dead and buried, and there are more than 25 million Christians in China. The church continues to grow, for there is no place on this earth beyond the reach of the power of Jesus. He rules over all, and his kingdom continues to march forward. No demon can stop it. No government can silence it. No terrorists can end it. Jesus rules. And we can be confident of this because we've read the end of the story. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses. When he comes again, the whole world will acknowledge Jesus Christ is Lord. We can be most confident of this because we've read the end of the story. At the end of the story, every knee in the world bows. At the end of the story, every spirit confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. We've read the end of the story when the Lord comes riding a white horse and takes over all the kingdoms of this world. For there is no one greater than Jesus. And when he is in us, we have his power. That's why there's no place more secure than in the hands of Jesus. Men will tell you that the most secure place on earth is an army base in the United States called Fort Knox. Fort Knox is where the U.S. government stores its greatest treasures. In fact, there's $137 billion worth of gold, 5,000 tons of precious metals, behind a 22-ton door. The combination to that door has been disseminated to 10 different staff. Each person has a partial code. No one knows anything but his own partial code. The code has to be inserted one person at a time. Behind that door in the treasury is the safest place on earth. But even if you are crafty enough to break the code and get in, you wouldn't get far. You'd have to get past armed guards, missile tanks, Apache helicopters, infrared surveillance, video cameras, and concrete reinforced granite walls. If you try to break in, you're going nowhere. But friends, here's the good news for us. God's kingdom is more secure than Fort Knox. It's kept by the greatest power of all, the power of Jesus Christ. See, all the might and power of the U.S. government will one day come to an end, but the kingdom of God will never end. All the gold and treasures of this world will one day fail, but God's treasury will never fade. No thief can go there. No flood can carry it away. No earthquake in heaven. No devaluation. No shortage of any kind. No coronavirus. God's kingdom is permanent and unshakable and secure. It's never failing, kept by God himself. He cannot be bribed. He cannot be fooled out of his riches. He never slumbers nor sleeps, so you can't rob him. You can't catch him off guard. You can't break in and take it away. He's the creator of the universe. He holds the stars in his hands. He never gets confused, for all wisdom is his. He never feels afraid, for all power is his. He never worries about the future, for the future is in his hands. He's not the great I was. He's the great I am. And God knows tomorrow. He has the time in his hands. And no matter how bad things look, God is on his throne. Oh, the devil may rage. People may doubt. Nations may prepare for war. But at the end of the book, Jesus rides victorious and triumphant, and all enemies are under his feet. His kingdom cannot be shaken because it's ruled by a king that can never be shaken. So no matter what you're passing through today, it is only temporary. This trial has come to pass. It has not come to stay. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It won't last. For anything that you're going through through today that opposes God's kingdom is only temporary. If there's sickness in your family, Jesus can heal you. If you're discouraged today, God will give you comfort. If you're troubled or confused, He will speak peace to your heart. There may be setbacks and delays, but all of them are temporary, for we belong to a kingdom that is triumphant forever and ever. And I declare to you today that Jesus is greater. When everything that can be shaken is shaken, God is building a people. God is building you with a faith that cannot be shaken or moved. He's raising up an army, a people filled with faith who will not fear when trouble comes around them. They will not hide in terror, but His people will rise with the good news that Jesus Christ is greater, and God is building such a people in this generation. I declare He's building it in you. Maybe you're listening today and you're bound by sin or temptation, but resurrection power is coming upon your life today. I bind and break that chain over your life in the name of Jesus and declare you are free. Maybe you're here listening today and you're struggling with bitterness and unforgiveness. You've been mistreated and you can't seem to let it go. But I declare resurrection power is coming to roll away the stone of bitterness from your heart to fill you with love and grace. Maybe you're listening today and your marriage is in trouble. You've struggled for years and things never seem to change. But resurrection power is coming into your home today. And I speak life and love to your marriage, that the love you had on your honeymoon is resurrecting in the name of Jesus. Maybe you're here and your dreams have died. You had so many plans. You were executing them. You were on track to succeed. But one setback after another has left you downcast and discouraged. You feel like your whole life is shut up in a dark tomb. But resurrection power is coming upon your dreams today. Jesus didn't die so that you could stay the same. He didn't rise from the dead so you could carry on without any hope. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ is lifting you now, bringing you hope, filling you with life. Just open your heart to receive from Him. For I declare and call forth the power of God in your life. I call forth the kingdom of God in you. I call forth the faith that God has planted in you as a seed, and I speak life to that faith. I speak growth to that faith. I call it forth to blossom and grow and bear fruit. I call forth your faith to rise up and produce fruit for God's kingdom. I call forth the gifts of God in your life. I call forth the spirit of resurrection over you today. Let the spirit of power and love and a sound mind come forth in you. I declare you will have wisdom beyond your peers. People will listen to you. For the voice of God will speak through you. You will give counsel to others. Your family will listen to you. Those older than you will listen to you and seek your advice. And you will speak the words and the wisdom of God. For a treasure dwells inside of you. And I call it forth today in the name that is greater than any name. The name of the resurrected Jesus. And that's why you can be confident that you will overcome. You will persevere. God is giving you grace right now. Just close your eyes and lift your hands and say, Lord, I receive your grace. I receive supernatural strength. He's releasing it upon you right now. The ability to persevere and be faithful. It's not your strength, but it's the strength of the resurrection. For understand that Jesus paid too high of a price for you to have an inheritance that could be lost. He paid that price so that you could participate with Him permanently in victory. And the same God that raised Jesus from the dead is imparting victory and life to you right now in the name of Jesus. And that brings us to our third truth today. The greater one lives in me. See, Jesus' resurrection proves that He's greater than anything. And we can all share in that victory when we put our faith in Him and He comes to live in us. Listen again to Mark 16:7. The angel said, now go and tell His disciples, including Peter. Nudge your neighbor and say, including Peter. That Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. Why did the angels mention this? Why did they call the name of Peter? Because the disciples had fled, but Jesus wants them to know they are included. And Peter had denied the Lord, but Jesus wants him to know he's included. That's why the angel said, go and tell the disciples and Peter. For the fact is, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how far you have fallen, God wants you to share in his victory and his life. And we can all do that when he lives in us. That's why 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. And when he lives in us, it means his victory abides in us. For Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Just put your hand on your chest and say, he lives in me. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Your enemy may be stronger than you, but your enemy is weaker than Jesus. And when you have Jesus inside of you, you have the power to overcome every enemy. The victory of the resurrection is for all of us, not just once, but eternally. It wasn't just for Jesus, it was for all of us. When Jesus rose from the dead, he not only opened the tomb, but he opened a way for all of us to have new life. He didn't triumph just so that he could come out from the grave. He triumphed so that we could all be delivered from death. We can't simply observe like spectators in a stadium. We must experience the resurrection in our own lives, for the resurrection is a shared victory. A direct impact is made on you and me. We're called to live a new life. You've been called not just to believe in something, not just to attend a church, not just to be religious, but he comes to make us new so that you can have new life. And the reason the stone was rolled away was not to let Jesus out, but to let us in. That's why in Matthew 28:6, the angel said, come and see the place where his body was. Why did the angel roll away the stone? Jesus didn't need the stone removed so he could get out. He had just conquered death, sin, Satan, and sickness. The stone was nothing to Jesus. In fact, later that same day, Jesus would walk through the wall into the room where the disciples sat. He did not need the stone to be moved so he could get out. We needed the stone to be moved so that we could see in. For God wants you to know today he's alive. He wants you to know he's real. He wants you to know there's no stone so big he can't roll it out of your life. God wants you to know today that there's no problem so big he can't overcome it. No sin so great he can't forgive it. No fear he can't conquer. No shame he can't remove. For he died for you. He rose for you. So what is there that God won't do for you now? But you have to believe and receive. See, in John 20, verse 8, the Bible says, then the disciple who'd reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. And what God is telling us here is that to share in his victory, you have to believe. You have to welcome him into your heart. He's greater than any enemy or problem or sorrow or pain, but his power will only become your power when he lives in you. And he's calling you and inviting you today. Come and see. Come and see that he is greater, greater than any other thing. And understand everything he's done for you and all that is available to you. Let him in. For he went up to the cross so he could come into your heart. He went down to the grave so he could come into your life. And he came out of the grave so he could come into you and be with you forever. And God sent me here today to tell you, let him into your life. He brought you into the sound of my voice to tell you that you can share in his victory when you receive him by faith. If you've never received Christ into your heart by faith, you can do that right now. For the Bible says if you believe in him, you will be saved. In Acts 16:31, Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You've got to admit that you're a sinner. You've got to admit that you can't roll away the stone of sin and death on your own power. But 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. So I'd like to ask you right now to bow your head and just pray after me this prayer of salvation. If you want Christ in your heart, just say, dear God, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask you to save me today. I cannot save myself. I confess that I've sinned against you. Please forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that he died on the cross and rose from the dead so that I might be saved. I ask you to come into my heart now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, and make me born again. I give my life to you. I promise to obey you and follow you. Save me from sin. Deliver me from the devil. Heal me. Fill me today. I thank you now by faith. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The hope of
God bless you for listening to this message. Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb is the senior pastor of Agape House New Testament Church in East Lagos. If you are ever in Accra, we would like you to worship with us on Saturday night at 6 p.m. or on Sunday at 7:30, 9:30 or 11:30 a.m. You will have an awesome experience. We're here.